It is week six here on the QBList Fantasy Football Podcast, and let's give an official welcome back to Jonathan Taylor, an official welcome back to Cooper Kupp, and a welcome back to Brian Hartman and Mario Adamo and myself, Cal Nusslinger. This is the part where I usually ask you how you're doing, and then again, we don't know, because neither of you decided to track your matchups this week, from what I've heard, so we won't ask that, but let's just ask, did you deal with the Cooper Kupp, Jonathan Taylor nonsense and trying to figure out whether or not he should be started this week?
Yeah. So a couple weeks back, it was like around week two, I traded for Cooper Kupp. The Cooper Kupp manager was 0-2 in a dark spot. So acquired him, and then I drafted JT because my draft was early and I assumed he would not hold out, but he did. So I had that kind of excitement / anxiety about like, oh my gosh, like, am I really going to pull the trigger, start these guys? I started Kupp against my Eagles. I know the Eagles kind of have a whack secondary, so I felt good about him. But it was Jonathan Taylor, who was like, Zach Moss is looking good. Anthony Richardson likes running things in. So I got a little nervous, but I bought into the hype. I'll admit, I didn't go with my head. I went with my heart. Benched DJ Moore for Jonathan Taylor. And now Devontae Adams needs to make sure I don't regret that decision. So, you know, I'm counting on him right now. But yeah, I was involved with both of those guys.
He's counting on the Raiders right now, and that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a good spot. As usual, PSA, we are recording in the middle of the Monday Night Football game. We all have matchups possibly coming down to this, so there may be some exciting shouting or anything at some point, but you know what? That's the beauty of fantasy football. But this was a wild week in terms of injuries. A lot of not too many people went down, but the quality of the names that went down are definitely worth noting. And we talked about Taylor and Kupp. They'll make the list soon. I think you know which list each one will be on, but we'll cover that and more on this episode. We'll start off with the bad news. We'll start off the injuries. First one, it's maybe the most severe in terms of fantasy quality player who went down. Justin Jefferson is currently dealing with a hamstring injury. As of us recording this on Monday night, he's currently considered a long shot to play in week six. We don't know exactly the extent of this, but it's a hamstring injury. Those can linger. So as of right now, you better plan to be without Justin Jefferson for at least a week, more than likely. It'll be multiple weeks. But with Jefferson going down and the Vikings being as bad as they are, somebody's going to need to step up. So is there anybody worth adding in terms of waivers for wide receivers now? If Addison will likely go to the one, but is who comes the next target in Minnesota you're looking out for?
Well, KJ Osborne has to be on the radar. Obviously, he's going to be a nice fill-in. Maybe look at him as like a wide receiver three in your lineup, but I still think that Hawkinson's going to see the majority of the snaps here, majority of the targets. I mean, Addison's definitely should see an uptick. I'm tired of him playing out there with minimal snaps, so hoping to see him go there. But KJ Osborne will definitely get in the mix for sure.
Yeah, he'll be a slight uptick, but I'd say he's probably not even the first wide receiver I'm looking at waiver wise. So he's on the radar, but I don't think he's the one that I'm jonesing after.
Yeah, I think Osborne, he'll be consistent flex, kind of like we talked about some of the players in the past weeks. 10 to 12 points is kind of what I see, especially during the bye weeks. You know, plug him in. He needs consistent points. I think he'll be fine with there, but there's definitely more exciting upside options. I would agree with you there in terms of guys to go out. And we'll cover all those guys in just a little bit, but we'll continue with the injuries. Anthony Richardson next up, Brian. I know his pains you hear. He's hurt again, unfortunately. It's about an AC joint injury. It looked bad. You knew right away when you went down this was not just a minor injury. This is now a third game he's left of injury, second time he's going to miss at least a week. So it's got to be a little concerning for the long-term prospects of Richardson. But for this week, instead of sprained AC joint, the timetable is about 4 to 6 weeks from what I've seen. So Gardner Minshew is going to be stepping in. Same question. What's the fantasy prospects for Colts wide receivers now? You got the Minshew mania running it back for another month or so.
I think the interesting thing will be, you know, just IR for Richardson, you know, whether or not he hits IR this week, you know, we'll be able to know if it's going to be more than 4 weeks or less than. But as far as the wide receivers and the other pieces in this offense, I really don't think it's much of a downtick. Minshew clearly isn't as talented as Richardson, but we've talked about it before. He's one of the better backups in the league. And, you know, he can distribute the ball. We saw what he could do in week three. And I think he'll be a great fill-in for Richardson. You know, he won't be taking away those rushing touchdowns. So JT might actually see, you know, a higher ceiling than he would with AR in the lineup. So I really don't think this hurts you. You shouldn't freak out. Michael Pittman can still be played. And there's going to be a waiver guy we'll talk about later on that I'm sure can be played as well.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to just add is that so week three, I think it was, where Minshew got the start and Michael Pittman still got his 11 targets. The other guy we're going to talk about still got 12 targets. So I'm not worried about the wide receivers here. Brian mentioned it, but I just want to say it again, that Minshew is probably the best backup in the league right now. So you're not too worried from the skill positions. And again, he even said it, but you have to think that the rushing touchdowns are now going to open up to guys that are not Richardson. So if you still have Moss, you know, you maybe thought, oh, Moss's value is down the drain as soon as JT comes back. Hasn't been the case yet. It's possible they're going to still ease JT in. And then if you're the JT manager, you got to hope, okay, now this is an opportunity for him to see more, especially red zone snaps.
So, continuing with the unfortunate injury and rookie news, Devon Achane apparently left the game against the New York Giants with a knee injury. And early reports from Mike McDaniel, I don't know what to think of it. He kind of just said it's too early to tell. We don't know the severity. Me didn't really say anything about how long he's going to be out. So this is extremely clear. I didn't even see the hit originally because they were up by so much. You just thought, okay, they're up by 20 points. Yeah. We're just going to take Achane out the rest of the game. Nope. Turns out it's a knee injury, and you got to wait and see from this point how long he may miss time. I'm kind of expecting playing it right now is he'll be missing at least week six. I just have this feeling, this bad feeling that's going to be maybe not a long term, but a couple week absence for Achane, which leads to the same question we go back to. Obviously, Raheem Mostert's still there, and he'll go back to being the lead guy, but does Jeff Wilson become even a more priority add as a stash back when he comes back on IR, or Sevan Ahmed? What's the read for the Miami backfield the rest of the way?
Yeah, I think you put it well where Wilson could be a stash. I think Mostert's going to be the main guy that's going to get the volume there. But kind of similar to the KJ Osborne thing where I'm not looking for to replacements on this team. I kind of think Mostert's going to be the one that's going to be taking the most of the volume. Wilson, I think, is like a flyer, if anything. So there's more enticing running backs on the waiver wire. I'm probably looking in for a fill-in versus Wilson.
Yeah, I don't hate the Wilson ad. In several leagues, I've got him stashed since the IR, but yeah, just kind of echoing what you said there. I think it's evaluating the team, seeing what the other options are out there on your waiver wire.
We'll keep up with the injury front a little bit better news. Daniel Jones left the matchup against the Miami Dolphins with a neck injury. He seems to be doing better today. Again, Brian Daboll wasn't exactly clear as to whether or not he will miss. It's something to monitor closely, especially with them having the Sunday night game. If you have Daniel Jones, you're in a two quarterback league, you get yourself another option and start him, or go pick up Tyrod Taylor. But I don't know how excited you should be of him against the Buffalo Bills. But yeah, we're not starting a lot of New York Giants anyway, besides potentially Saquon Barkley. And we'll see if he even makes it back for week six. So I think this is a pretty simple, you don't start a New York Giant right now unless Saquon Barkley is obviously going to play. And even then, it's a tough matchup, but I won't even be extremely confident with him for that matchup.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Continuing with the quarterback news, we got a report on Monday at practice. Deshaun Watson was not back at practice yet. Kevin Stefanski's kind of said he'll play when he's ready. He kind of said he's taking it day by day. We'll see him out there when he is 100%. So as of right now, how are you monitoring these Browns receivers? Obviously, Dorian Thompson, DTR, did not look so great before the bye week, and they're coming right out the bye, and Watson can be back out. Can you start a Cleveland Brown wide receiver without Watson this coming week?
You're not excited about it. I'll say, like, granted, it was probably only Amari Cooper was the one you were starting from this wide receiver corps. Maybe Elijah Moore in deeper leagues, but I'll say, yeah, Amari Cooper is definitely going to take a hit. I'm not going to be covering the start sit in that game, but I would imagine whoever the author is going to just, I would personally bump down Amari Cooper a little bit with the rookie starting in place of Watson.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you there. And the last injury came in on Thursday night. And this one's another possibility. Khalil Herbert That did not look pretty. That was an injury you looked at, saw, and you looked right away. Ugly. That was an ugly injury. He's expecting to miss several weeks. Again, no clear timetable, but it's going to be a while without him. So the Bears were finally starting to click a little bit more on offense. Now you're down Khalil Herbert, and maybe you get Roschon Johnson, but not so fast. He left with a concussion, so he got to monitor that closely. So obviously, if Roschon Johnson's starting, he's an obvious start, but if both of them miss time, who becomes that third man, and how much injury do you have in the third man up on the Bears running back list?
I know it's not an enticing name. I think it's Foreman is the guy.
Yeah, Dont'a Foreman. It's the guy that finds a way to make himself relevant for 3 to 6 games every season.
Yeah.
Do you want to play the third guy on the Bears offense? No.
No.
Because, I mean, Fields is still out there running the ball, but goodness, he had, I think, 3 or 4 guys. I need to look it up, but he had several games last season where he destroyed for the Panthers. So, you know, I imagine they're going to feed him the ball as the bell cow back, and then you're going to have Roschon Johnson if he does come out there as kind of the pass catching back. But yeah, I'd be willing to throw him out there with bye weeks and injuries. It's hard out there.
Yeah, Roschon. I was going to say, with, like, we kind of talked about how Wilson is a stash. In my eyes, I kind of look at Roschon as like almost a 1 week stash, right? Like, he's someone that I mentioned in the waiver wire article this week where I always try to prioritize guys you can just plug into your lineup that upcoming week. But Roschon is a name I want to keep an eye on if you're not too hurt by bye weeks this week, which is only 2. I think he's a good stash just because looking at Herbert, who's been the number one, who's been the lead back there. Granted, he's been doing better in standard leagues. Like, I'm looking at just his standard finishes, but 22, 29, 24, you know, solid RB2 production. So if you can get that for just a bye week filler, Roschon Johnson, I'm kind of keeping an eye on.
And to add to the excitement, they play the Minnesota Vikings this week, and that's been a defense you can beat. They're pretty beatable right now, and they're probably looking towards a Caleb Williams draft pick, along with possibly the Bears. So that's going to be an interesting battle for the seller this coming week.
Yeah, Dont'a Foreman had 500-yard games last year, so take that.
Yeah, he just does it.
I remember picking him up for a very quick stretch there and starting him as I was trying to battle for a playoff spot, and somehow it worked out. I feel like I remember Mario and I kind of being like, geez, are we really recommending Dont'a Foreman?
Are we really? Yeah, between him and Chuba Hubbard, it's just like, who's the guy this week?
Yep. That was fun. That was a fun time.
Yeah.
But what's not a fun time is in New England. We talked about it last week, but last week is Bill Belichick got the Bill Belichick had the worst loss of his NFL career. Well, this week he had the worst home loss of his NFL career. So 2 straight weeks, only putting up 3 points total and allowing over 70. It's a mess in New England, and Mac Jones did get a second straight week of being benched. They're playing it off right now as it was a blowout, and they're just going to take him out to rest him. Okay, fully get it. But how many more weeks is this going to be the same thing before we turn to Bailey Zappe? So I think I know the answer, but we just have to throw it out there. Is any New England Patriot startable at this point? Ramondre Stevenson, can you start any New England Hunter Henry? Can you start any Patriot? And are you dropping most of your Patriots right now?
Man.
I'm not dropping Ramondre, but I'm not starting him either.
Yeah, you can't drop Ramondre. There's too much value. He's in such an ugly position where you can't drop him. You can't trade him because his value is an all-time low. You can't start him because you're not going to get anything. You really got to just stash him. He has 1 good week, and then you find the Patriots homer in your league, and you try to flip him for pennies on the dollar. Even Hunter Henry would be the one I'm normally excited about, but he's coming off 2 targets last week. Just tough. It's just tough. I think he is the only one just because it is a tight end wasteland, but there's probably even still options. So I'd say Hunter Henry is the only one I'd consider close to startable at this time.
And I will say, too, Ramondre's coming off 3 straight games with the Jets, Dallas, and the Jets. Like, those are 3 very good run defenses. So, like, I get the pain. Yeah. You're probably not looking very good if he is in your starting lineup right now. But I'm not throwing him away. He's got very favorable matchups coming up after the Raiders this week with, you know, Buffalo, Miami, Washington, Indiana. These are all teams that have pretty good run defenses. You can move the ball on a little bit, so freak out, absolutely, but we're not giving him away.
Yeah. Which also, that's what I'm telling the person I'm trying to sell Stevenson to. I'm hoping he does well against Vegas, against the Raiders. And I'm like, look at his matchups coming up. Like, you can run over Washington, you can run on Miami. And I'm just trying to get him. If I get 50 cents on the dollar, I just want to be out of the headache, because this is just an ugly offense this year.
I was close last week before the week started in getting a Ramondre Stevenson. And I had an offer out there after thought about more, but like, you know, I'm pulling this back a little bit. And I would have upgraded the quarterback, so it would have been still okay. But thinking back on it, thank God I didn't do it, because I would have given up a running back to downgrade, in a sense, to Ramondre. But it wouldn't even just be a minor downgrade. It would have been a bigger downgrade than I expected. So I'm glad I pulled that. I trade back. And finally, the biggest news for you, Brian, was Jonathan Taylor has re-upped the contract with the Indianapolis Colts. 3 years, $42 million. He will be staying. I don't think any of us saw this coming. I figured this was a marriage that was done, and it was headed towards a very sour public divorce. And what do you know? He's going to stay in Indianapolis. And he ran for over 100 yards. Oh, wait, no, that was Zach Moss. We'll get to him in the booms, but long term implications after this week. Is Taylor a RB1 rest of the way, RB2 with Zach Moss? Is Zach Moss completely irrelevant the rest of the way? We talked about it a little bit last week, but just update us where you stand on that, and then we can give the Zach Moss love in just a little bit.
I still have full confidence in JT. I think this is great for, you know, JT. I think this is great for running backs. I think this is good for the Colts. I think this is good for the team. The 3 years, you know, it's great, right? About the time you're going to have to pay Richardson, you know, so I feel like a lot of things line up. But it's, you know, I think JT, you're going to have to look at him as more of like a mid to late RB1. This guy's still an elite talent. I get Zach Moss had a great day, but if you're putting Jonathan Taylor in the same positions, you're not telling me he's going to do any worse. Absolutely not. He's got top end speed. He's got the ability to break tackles. He is elite. He is one of the best running backs. So we may not see top three like we used to in those first couple seasons, just because he is capped with Anthony Richardson when he comes back, and then also Minshew running the offense. I don't think this is going to be a 30 points a game kind of team, but don't freak out. He was on a snap count. The coaches told us ahead of time he was going to be on a snap count. If you played him, I'm sorry. We just get excited sometimes. That's what happens there. You know, you don't want to miss out on those big booming plays. So JT going forward, though, let's roll.
Yeah, I want to just say a couple of things that I thought was maybe a fun fact. So his contract, 3 years, $42 million. If you're wondering, the last year of Daniel Jones' contract in 2026, he'll be making $46 million. I thought that was just a fun difference in the world of the positions of football. But then I'll also just say, when it comes to Jonathan Taylor, I'll say, like, I'm a Jonathan Taylor manager. I don't know if I'm going to start him next week at Jacksonville. I feel like that's a good matchup that he's torched in the past. But I'll say I'm kind of just looking at his playoff matchup at this point. You know, I'm just trying to think ahead. Season's one in December. At Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Vegas. None of those are super scary. I think Atlanta is a surprisingly top five run defense, but I don't think the others really worry me. So I'll say if you have Taylor, I'm fine with just kind of waiting and seeing him perform. Maybe it's just, like I said, I have the sour taste in my mouth of the 3 touchdowns versus 30 yards. But yeah, that's what I'm just being more. I'm reeling in my expectations of Jonathan Taylor after that first week.
Yeah, definitely. And for more covers on a week to week basis, just of a weekly reminder, tune into the Sit Start podcast and the Sit Start articles that come out weekly on QBList.com and the QBList podcast feed. They'll have much in-depth discussion as to whether you can start Jonathan Taylor, can start Zach Moss, but we'll give you the very brief overview at this point. But on to some more exciting players from this past week than Jonathan Taylor. Of course, it's our booms of the week. We'll start with you, Brian, since you just had to have that sour talk about Jonathan Taylor. Give me your biggest boom of the week, guy you were most impressed with or changed your opinion of over the past week.
Ooh, well, let me pull one from the quarterback position, and it's one I don't know if I'm necessarily happy about. I have been screaming for him to be benched and be pulled, but
let's go
Desmond Ridder coming in at QB5. We are recording during the Monday night game, so I'm just kidding. Garoppolo and Love, they're not coming in top five. Ritter is the QB five for the week, and he ran in a score, so that really helped boost up his week. But we saw them throw the ball more. We saw Kyle Pitts get involved a lot more into this game. And, you know, maybe it's just holding out hope that, you know, we had to knock out a few weeks, get him a few more starts. I guess I kind of forget that he wasn't the starter all last season. This looks like the same Falcons team we saw last year with Mariota. So it really doesn't feel different to me. So maybe that's why I'm not giving him more of the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, kept us busy. Got points on the board. I'm happy with it.
With Ritter, something I want to talk about, because I usually do the sit starts for the Falcons, and like the Ritter section is the easiest one.
Intentionally? You choose to do that?
I have a special place in my heart.
You got to trash on Kyle Pitts anytime you get.
That's
so I guess
the big
makes sense
thing. That's
you.
The big thing, is it's just like my little soapbox to go off on Kyle Pitts, and he did me dirty this week. But Desmond Ritter always is just two sentences. Like, why are we even talking about him? But since he became the starter week 15 last year, he wasn't always a starter. And he failed to reach 10 points in 6 of his 8 games before this. So, Brian, you're like, he shouldn't be. He, like, this was an anomaly. I'm not buying into the hype. I'm going to consider this. I think I got the Falcons again this week in the sit start. So, this isn't, I'm not going to spend my fab on Ritter. You know, Jordan Love's on a bye. I'm not picking up Ritter to replace him. But, yeah, this one, an anomaly at this.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice as a reminder that our Falcon skill position players not named Bijan can still have those upside weeks, and the constant reminder of this is why you don't drop Drake London and Kyle Pitts, even though they're very hard to start week in and week out, because they can have these boom weeks in a plus matchup. So again, listen to other people talk, tell you why you should start them, but it's going to be a headache, but it's nice to know they still have it in there. Mario, over to you. Is anybody else stand out for you as a boom this past week?
Yeah, I'll keep in the quarterback. Keep it easy. Jared Goff. I wrote a lot of Lions articles last year because I had Swift on my team and I just wanted to live in that suffering as much as possible. But Jared Goff, like, he was always great at home. Meh on the road. You know, like, four so far on the road this year, 14 and 12 points. But when he's at home, he knows how to deal. 23 points, 19, and then he's coming off this, 27.4 points, looking like he's going to be QB4 for the week. I don't know what it is. Even without the Sun God, even without Amon-Ra, I was kind of a little nervous about him. I actually started Stroud over him because I have, you know, been juggling those two guys, but I don't know why I doubted myself. Home Goff always delivers. 27 points, top three finish.
It was about 12:30 on Sunday morning. I was sitting there just looking at my waiver wire, like, I have Goff starting, but now Amon-Ra's out. Do I want to drop somebody? I ended up sticking with it, and I'm glad I did. He had a really good week. Again, right. It's home Goff. It's pretty home simple. He's playing it. If he's playing at home, you start him. If he's on the road, you go find somebody else. So he'll get Amon-Ra back. Obviously, monitor that situation closely. We'll likely see him next week, week 7, kind of, I guess. I feel like he might miss another week, but again, keeping a close eye on the practice report. But it's nice to know that even without Amon-Ra, Jared Goff is still a QB1 for fantasy as long as he's playing at home.
Next 2 weeks on the road, so keep an eye on that. At Tampa, at Baltimore.
Then find another option. You know how he is on, you know, it's on the road, but you know, keep a close eye on there. We'll get to the more exciting skill positions. Obviously, the quarterback stood out. Every other quarterback, it's kind of what you expected, but we'll get into some more of that. We'll go over to the running back position where there was a lot of standouts, and we talked enough about Zach Moss, so we can kind of skip that one. But well, I faced off against him. I had Jonathan Taylor back. I looked at him like, oh, he has to start Zach Moss. I should win this, right? Yeah, he happened to have Justin Fields as well, so we'll get to that impact in just a little bit as well. But I can shout out Justin Fields. Mario, you hit the nail on the head on there. Justin Fields is startable. From in here on in, he's back to that QB1. You set it and forget it with him. It's fun. But continue with the running back position. Brian, let's go over to you. Your biggest running back performance of the week.
Well, grab your crumpets and tea because we're going to talk about one of the early games. Yes.
Oh.
Travis Etienne ran up and down the field there in London. And oh my goodness, dude. The Bills just could not. They didn't have an answer for him. He rushed it you know, 23 plus times, caught the ball multiple times. Just Travis Etienne was shredding the Buffalo Bills, and it was so fun to see. Tank Bigsby came out there like three times just so, you know, Travis could get some water. No, Etienne right back out there doing his thing. It was great to see. Jags offense, turnovers were really sputtering that offense overall, but Etienne, he did his job. RB1, 36 points. Love to see it.
Yeah. What I loved about that was he was facing himself in fantasy. Tweeting it out after that.
Yeah.
That was fun to see.
So it's great to see the Jaguars offense is starting to get itself back into form. If they can cut down the turnovers, you'll have plenty of startable options week in and week out back in that Jacksonville offense. Mario, if you have anything more for Travis Etienne, I didn't mean to cut you off there. And if not, any other running backs that strongly stood out for you?
No, only thing I say about Etienne is I'm just happy to always see a fellow junior do well. So shout out that. I'll move to the last running back I had on my short list of just top guys, Alvin Kamara. I mean, last week he had a good PPR performance because of his 13 catches for 33 yards. A hilarious combination. But this week, actually put up some solid yards, had a good standard and PPR game. I think he finished with 18.5 points. Yeah, 18.7, RB6, unless Aaron Jones isn't even playing tonight. So I guess unless Josh Jacobs pops off, dings him down a little bit. But just good to see Kamara back. When Kamara is playing well, he's just, in my opinion, one of the more fun guys to watch. Just so fun out of that backfield. So kudos to him. I was kind of nervous about him just with the, like I said, the 13 for 33 yards. That did not inspire a lot of confidence last week. So I was thinking maybe with Carr in the backfield, it just isn't going to work and Kamara going to be kind of a stinker. Nope, I was wrong. Kamara, two strong PBR weeks back to back. So good for him.
Yeah, he's back to a locked in week in, week out RB1. I wouldn't say it's prime Kamara, but it's you set it and forget it with him. I was concerned in draft season with the addition of Kendre Miller and Jamal Williams. Was it going to be kind of a more of a mix and match situation? Nope, it's Alvin Kamara, and he's just you set it and forget it, and it's a good time to be having Alvin Kamara. Over to the wide receiver position, which had maybe some of the biggest performances of the entire week. It was nuts, and there was a lot of games. I'll kick it right out there. Jamar Chase. Welcome back, Jamar Chase. I should have let it off to you with three touchdowns on 14 receptions. I'm not going to say the Bengals offense is fully back. I'd like to see it for more than 1 week, but it's a good reminder. If you had your buy low window of getting a Bengal, getting a Jamar Chase or T. Higgins before the injury, that window's closed. You're not getting any Bengals for very cheap anymore after his performance. It's a good reminder why Jamar Chase was the second receiver, possibly first receiver taken off your board in draft. And after he had his expletive rant after the game last week, when he said he's always open, you're right. He's always open. And I believe he actually might have tweeted something about 7-Eleven as a reminder of that. He is a true talent. Not too much more to add about Jamar Chase, but he is really, really good at football.
Squeaky wheel game. 100%.
Yep. There's two narratives that just always work in fantasy football. It is the squeaky wheel game and the revenge game. And the squeaky wheel, that definitely happened with Jamar Chase. So if one of my receivers and one of my teams could, you know, start complaining a little bit more, I would greatly appreciate that. Brian, we'll move it over to you, unless you have more to say for Jamar Chase. But there's a lot of other receivers that stood out. So what's your biggest performance you want to shout out right now?
Well, this guy, you know, I'm going to have to slap on my Depends because this guy's having me wet myself. Old man Adam Thielen.
Oh my God.
I can't contain myself here. He has been a top 20 wide receiver in weekly PPR scoring at the last 4 weeks. Like, he's averaging a target rate at 29% over that time frame. Like, this is insane. I was all for Jonathan Mingo, the rookie second round pick for the Panthers. So excited to see him develop, see him go alongside with Bryce Young. We'll have to wait for that next year because Adam Thielen's the guy. He's the favorite target. Was it 14 targets, 11 targets this past game? He's
13 targets this past week.
Yep. 13 targets, 11 catches. Yes, there we go. Just he's getting it done, and you cut him off the waiver wire. If you got him, scored him week two, week three, you're sitting happy.
Yeah, absolutely not. He was someone that I did not even consider. Like when it came to the pre-draft things, I kind of wrote off every position, every player on the Panthers except for Miles Sanders, just for the Eagles fan bias. And Adam Thielen, like you said, you get him off the waiver wire, top 24 weeks in a row. I don't see it stopping. You have to start him. You have to stop him going forward.
All this talk about the Panthers want to add a number one receiver for Bryce Young. I think they should realize they've got one. Obviously, you want someone more long-term, but yeah, Adam Thielen, he's fully entering a set it and forget it week in, week out. Yeah, he's you start him, and he's that dominant right now for the Panthers. So good for him. I'm happy to see it.
Yeah. I'll talk about a little 1-2 punch when it comes to wide receiver. Nakua and Kupp. Turns out they can both work together. Back in the early weeks, like I'm talking week one, week two, in our waiver wire segment, I was like, why even waste your time with Puka? You know Kupp's coming to come back. He's going to get every single one of those targets, leaving Nakua, you know, off to the side. Wide receiver 10 and wide receiver 11. So turns out they can work pretty well together. I think Puka got a touchdown. I think it was Puka and Tutu that got a touchdown, and Kupp did not, but still Kupp had, I think, 5 targets alone on the opening possession. So right back to the Breakfast Club. Absolutely insane. So if you have any of these two guys, if you're a little nervous, like we kind of talk about JT, where it's just like seems like he may get worked in a little bit just due to the nature of running back. You can kind of have one or the other guy kind of eat, not really both. But yeah, Kupp looks great. Puka looks great. So continue starting both confidence.
Yeah, if you're looking at the side-by-side snaps, Puka Nakua actually played every single offensive snap. Cooper Kupp played 95. Kupp had 12 targets. Nakua had 11. There was a 0.3 PPR point difference between the two of them. These guys can leave, you know, right next to each other. No problem.
Wide receiver one and wide receiver one.
It's like we talked about last week. The Rams have in the past had 2 fantasy relevant wide receivers and are going to have it here. Obviously, Nakua won't be the wide receiver one and set all sorts of receptions records week in, week out with Kupp back, but he'll still be a very fantasy viable option. So if you have both of them, you start them both and you sit there and you'd be happy about it because they're going to have some great production there. And the last receiver I want to shout out, I'll put the Homer hat on for a week. It's George Pickens at the 41-yard touchdown to win the game in that very amazing 17-10 win over the Baltimore Ravens. That was one of the weirdest games I ever watched. But 6 receptions, 130 yards, and a touchdown. He finishes as the wide receiver 5 on the week, as long as Devontae Adams doesn't do Devontae Adams like things tonight, which you never know. It's Devontae Adams. But a great performance. And some of the catches he made, it was just full one-on-one, just throw it up and he's going to catch it. It was extremely impressive. If I do have him, I'm probably going to be trying to sell this high. The Steelers are going into the bye week, into week 6. And Deontay Johnson's making it his goal to come back in week 7. So maybe Pickens has done enough to actually overtake Deontay Johnson. I'm not certain that's the case, though. So I think that target share is going to start going down now, but they're going to have another good pass catcher in that offense with Pat Freiermuth out. So I think if you can sell high on this performance to George Pickens, you do it. I just don't fully buy it's going to stay this way. He'll still be good. He's still someone you'll want to start. It probably is flex the rest of the way, but with Johnson back, you're not going to see as many of these boom performances week in and week out. But as a Steelers fan, it's happy to see that he's establishing himself as that wide receiver we were all hoping he was going to be. All right, over to the tight end position real quick. Not as many, it's tight end, but there are still some 2 wake up performances of just a reminder of, hey, these guys are still good at football. So Mario, let's let you start off because one of them's on your team. And if you want to take them, go for it.
Oh my gosh. I'm not going to wear the Homer hat because although one is on my team, one is on my fantasy team, which, you know, in this particular week was a little bit more important in this close game I had. George Kittle, 3 catches, 3 touchdowns. He couldn't be tackled. He literally was not tackled. 3 receptions, 3 touchdowns, 67 yards. You know, he had no touchdowns going into this game, had his first career 3 touchdown game. You know, absolutely beautiful. It was against the Cowboys, so I'll take that as an Eagles fan, right? Like, so that was also good to see. Yeah. I mean, nothing more to say. 3 catches, 3 touchdowns. That's a fun stat line. That's a Randy Moss stat line.
And I think the other guy that I want to mention too is the tight end 2 of the week, Dallas Goedert. We talked about squeaky wheel syndrome. This was it totally. He had 5 targets, I believe, on the opening drive. Finished with 8 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown. he almost doubled his yearly output through four games today on in week five alone. So I was able to scoop him up off the waiver wire from a frustrated person. So
nice.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert's going to be back into this mix. I don't think we're going to see quite this consistent workload, you know, week in and week out, but he showed he is one of the top six, top seven talents at the tight end position.
Yeah, it's the same thing we said about possibly Kyle Pitts. No other tight end has that upside, and Goddard is clearly better than Kyle Pitts. He can do it more consistently. But it's just a reminder of his Eagles offense. We've seen it week in and week out. One week it's going to be the Dallas Goedert's going to do nothing. One week it's going to be the A.J. Brown does nothing. And one week it's going to be who I'll start off with the duds list. The Devontae Smith does nothing. 1.2 fantasy points. Finishes as the wide receiver 92 on the week. Don't panic about Devontae Smith. The Eagles are still a really good offense. If you can obviously buy him, you do it. It's the Eagles. They just have this good of an offense where we've seen it so far. You're going to go through weeks where one of them is going to be left out or kind of quiet. So if you're looking ahead next week, they play the New York Jets. Devontae Smith may become a squeaky wheel. I look back to bounce back performance for him this week. The Eagles have a habit of doing that. So don't panic about Devontae Smith. That's just what the Eagles offense is going to do. There's so many good players with now DeAndre Swift being good that not everyone's going to be elite week in and week out.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to have Dallas Goedert finish as tight end two, it's probably because he's taking the targets from somebody else. And in this case, it was Smith's turn to kind of give it up. So too many mouths to feed.
But yeah, I figured that's a good transition to some of the bigger duds, but I'll kick it over to Bu Mario since you had the comment of that. Your biggest dud of them all from the past week.
Oh my gosh, we talked a little bit about Jonathan Taylor earlier. I don't want to harp more on him. Broke my heart, and he's going on my bench for the time being. But I'm talking about another running back that kind of had high expectations, one you're probably familiar with on your team, Najee Harris. I mean, I don't know what to do with him. I forget the name of the backup there. Warren, I think, is his name.
Jalen Warren,
yep. Yeah. Okay. He's someone I mentioned in the waiver article last week. And he's probably still not at that 50% threshold, so he'll probably get a shout out this week. But it's just Najee. Honestly, Warren looked like he was the better player than Najee, and you hate to see it when Najee is somebody that's drafted in the second round. You have high expectations for him, and he just looks bad. There's just nothing else to say. You probably watched the game a little bit more than just a few highlights I saw, which is Najee finished with 5 points, beat Jonathan Taylor. I'll give him that, but just. Just ugly. Just ugly.
Jalen Warren's looked like the... Oh, God. I was going to say, Warren's looked like the more explosive back in that backfield all season long.
Looked like the better everything back.
They're going to the bye week now, and they come back in week seven. It's going to be a mess. You probably don't start a Steeler running back after the bye because they're going to probably be mixing it more, but... I don't think Najee Harris is going to have many startable weeks the rest of the season the way things are going right now.
Yeah,
but yeah, Brian, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I'm sure you got another running back that's you want a shout out, so let's take it away.
Yeah, just a little frustration here. Oh, man, I realize I'm going back to London here, but James Cook, he was quite the heartbreaker there in London. I don't know if there were a jet lag this Bills team, but they did not look good out there. James Cook walked away with 9 opportunities on the day. That is not – he's not the kind of guy that can get it done with just 9 touches. When you rush for 5 yards and go negative on the yardage, that's also not great. But it just looked bad for him. He didn't get the opportunities. He had to pass block because they were running – or they were passing most of the game. And we saw Latavius Murray come out a lot. We saw Damian Harris come out a lot. It just wasn't the sight that you want to see for James Cook. He got 80% of the rush shares back in wins week one. Since then, his single game high is 60%. So like his numbers are coming down. So I don't know if that's them trying to pull back his workload, if they're seeing the hot hand go elsewhere. But for somebody who's been very consistent over the last few weeks, just watching the situation that's going on there in Buffalo in the backfield.
Yeah, it's been tough to watch there. He's starting to look like he might be that breakout, and now all of a sudden it's back to, well, maybe Cook's a RB2, but that's going to be another messy situation moving forward. He does play the Giants this week, so not ready to give up yet, but it's a lot of question marks now. And I'll wrap up the running back position with the final dud that we want to mention. It's Kyren Williams. He only finished 7.7 fantasy points, 13 carries, 53 yards. The reason he's on this dud list is because Cooper Kupp's back. So there's going to be more passing volume, and that's going to go to Kupp and Atwell and all and Puka over dump offs to Kyren Williams. So he'll still be a startable RB2 just for volume, for carries alone. The next three of the next 4 weeks, he plays a plus matchup with the Cardinals, the Steelers, and the Cowboys, which we know is tough, but then the Green Bay Packers. You can run on those on three of those four teams. So I wouldn't panic yet. I think Kyren Williams will still, volume alone, be a good starter. He just might not get the extreme passing upside that he's had now that Cooper Kupp's back, but he'll still be good for three dump offs a game, something like that, for, you know, five fantasy points in the receiving game. He'll take that along with probably 7 to 8. You know, he's no longer be an RB1 in terms of ranks, but he'll probably still be a solid RB2 the rest of the way just based on volume alone.
Yeah, something I want to just add to that is even more so than the Kupp affecting his volume. I think it was mostly just he went up against the Eagles. Like, now you have to toot my team. Eagles currently the best team against the running backs right now, averaging 6 points to the position every week. So absolutely stranglehold on it. And like you mentioned, they're going to have better matchups ahead. This one is, I think, just a killer matchup, right? Like, you probably didn't start the Cowboys defense, even though they're putting up 20, 30 a game. When you see they're playing San Francisco now instead of the Patriots, you probably are like, yeah, same kind of situation.
Definitely.
But now I want to talk about the Cowboys. I want to talk about a wide receiver over there. That's CeeDee Lamb I kind of want to talk about, because he is another one kind of similar to like the Najee Harris situation, where it's like, you know, CeeDee Lamb, what's he going? Second, third round. And I mean, he could be an argument for a bust of the year. I mean, I'm looking, he has one finish in his wide receiver seven. After that, his next highest finish is 25, two in the 40s, including this week, finishes wide receiver 41. I know this game, they just absolutely got whomped up and down, but it's just this offense, does it looks like they can't pass well. You know, you're kind of hoping next week they're going at the Chargers. You're kind of hoping that's a shootout game similar to the Vikings game. But otherwise, if CeeDee Lamb doesn't produce next week, I mean, then he's not going to be a weekly bust. I think he's just like he's in the running for bust of the year when we do that at the end of the season show. It's just not what you want to say. He's looked bad. His targets, I had his targets in front of me. Last note on him before I get rambly. Hit 5 targets this past week. His second lowest. I mean, just his trending downwards, 7, 6, 5 targets. Yeah. Like a bust of the year potentially.
Well, I mean, when your quarterback's the quarterback 21 on the season, it's going to be, you know, a struggle there.
I guess that's true. I don't know why they're not force feeding him. I'm, you know what? Now you got me back on a little tangent. I was watching the games we're recording during Monday Night Football, and it was 3rd and goal, and I see Davante Adams getting, like, he's setting up a block for Myers, and it's like, why is your best player blocking? I don't understand. It's the same situation. Like, maybe these guys never played Madden. You just give the ball to your best player. That's just it.
Right? They don't get tired.
Don't overthink it. Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe 3rd and 1, when you're running the football well, you don't try and throw a pass out of a shotgun. You maybe give the ball to your running backs, which Steelers did 2 weeks ago, and it's still bothering. Luckily, Kenny Pickett was back this week, so he's back. But, yeah, it's I'll never forget that play. But, yeah, it leads into Dak. He was a pretty big bust. I think he's been bad all year. You talk about his quarterback 21. I don't think he's by any means a startable quarterback week in and week out. He's a streamer at best right now. And that's what it is. And he went up against a good 49er defense, sure, but he's been pretty inconsistent all season. So, yeah, he's a full-on just stream him, and there's a lot of guys I'd have over him. So that just quickly covers Dak. And Brian, before we wrap it up, any other busts you want to highlight before we move over to the waivers?
We talked on, you know, Justin Jefferson. He did leave with a hamstring injury. That was late in the game, though. He had a bust of a performance before that. So I just want to make sure that we don't give him the out for the injury there, that he didn't get it done, unfortunately. But a guy I will also want to give a little slack to is Lamar Jackson. I thought he looked 90% great out there. For what he was doing, moving the ball, delivering it all around. His teammates just didn't want to help him. Andrews had a drop. Bateman had an end zone drop. There were multiple touchdown drop. Like, say Flowers had a giant pass that was it, they just weren't doing him any favors. So I'm hoping to see a bounce back week from him. And also, dude, hold on to the ball. I know Harbaugh is hating this new style offense, all of this, because Lamar looks like rookie season Lamar. The way he's holding the ball out, way, you know, he's fumbling it. Yeah. It's loose. I think he's so excited to come out here and play Madden style ball that he's playing more reckless, and it's noticeable. And, you know, it's causing some of these games for the Ravens.
We had all this excitement about Todd Monken and how great the Ravens offense was going to be as a result. And we haven't seen it. It's 5 weeks in, and I haven't really seen you see Lamar running the ball a little bit more, which is nice. He's having good performances with his legs, but the passing game is not gotten going there. And if you have the Ravens, you're not getting the reward you've been looking for. So hopefully he can turn things around for fantasy managers soon enough. But as a Steeler fan, I was perfectly fine with that performance. But I think he's better days are ahead, because there were probably, I think there's 7-8 drops, including Zay Flowers falling down on a deep route, balls going through receivers' hands. Like, Lamar Jackson definitely should have had at least an extra touchdown in that game. Just
3 touchdowns, if anything.
Yeah, Ravens just could not hold on to the football. So better days are coming, but maybe not the quarterback 4 or 5 days that you were hoping for when you drafted him as a 4th or 5th quarterback off the board in drafts here. Well, let's go over to the waiver wire. We talked a lot about the studs and duds in a week. Let's get a look at the guys we're trying to add for week 6, and there actually is a good chunk of it. So we'll start off at the running back position. We covered Deontay Foreman at the beginning of the show. That's someone we're looking for with the injuries to Herbert and possibly Roschon Johnson, as well as the Jeff Wilson stash with the Dolphins running back issues, or injuries, I should say, at this point. But you mentioned how he's not your top priority at the running back position. So let's break it down. Who are you dropping the big fab bucks for? Or is there anyone you're dropping the big fab bucks for going into week 6?
There's nobody like nuclear, you know, dropping the missile, you know, spending it all. I don't think this is the week for that. There's a few different names, and we'll get to all of them, and I may chime in like a thought or two on a lot of them. But I think right now the guy I'm kind of looking at the most is Spears. It is Tajay Spears, I think, is his first name. You know, obviously the King's still there, King Henry. We saw 2 weeks ago where Henry is still Henry. He is still very much possible throwing up a 20-point game. But Spears got the rushing touchdown here. And to me, the thing that's a red flag is that there is just somebody else in the backfield. You know, in the past 3, 4, maybe even 5 years, I feel like it was like just Henry. You know, it's not even worth rostering the handcuff because there's nobody else like him on the football field. And that's just not the case anymore. You know, Henry was being used as like a set. He used another trick play this game where he had the pass. It just did not. I think it was Hopkins just couldn't get the second foot in the end zone inbounds. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, just the fact that Spears is getting all the opportunities that he is kind of just a little bit of a flag to me that Henry isn't going to be the tractor Cito this November, December that he has in the past. So he's probably the biggest one. It's like a combo of a stash, combo of a, I feel comfortable using him as a flex, especially with bye weeks coming up. So he's probably my number one waiver guy.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Outside of week 4 was Derrick Henry's second highest. But if you look at his the running back rush share by week, it's gone down every single week, with last week being the lowest at 65%. And he's only been a 10% target share once this season. So Tajay Spears has clearly carved out a role in this offense. And with that horrendous offensive line there in Tennessee, your confidence meter has to be dropping on Derrick Henry. He's not the elite of the elite that he used to be.
Yeah, I've had Derrick Henry in a couple leagues this year, and it's definitely concerned. So I think Tajay Spears is a great pickup. The Titans may be in a lot of passing game scripts the rest of the way. They haven't done anything on offense that's fully impressed me that I think they're going to be a legit contender this year. So they might be playing from behind in a lot of games, and that'll definitely cap Henry's upside and increase the amount of time that Spears will be put in. So I do like that call. 2 other running backs that are worth at least mentioning at the top of this segment have to do with running back injuries. The first is out in Denver. Javonte Williams did miss after going back and forth all week due to hips flexor. They do have a short week and will play on Thursday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. So what we see big time. Jaleel McLaughlin, 9 carries, 68 yards. He also had 4 targets and a touchdown in the passing game. Again, short week against Kansas City Chiefs. He may be someone you want to add. And as well, with the Arizona Cardinals, we did lose James Conner. It's the yearly James Conner injury, which led to a Murray. Jerry Mercado, after Keontae Ingram had been out for the past 2 or 3 weeks with an injury of his own, DeMercado was the next guy up, and he looked pretty good. 10 carries, 45 yards, and a touchdown, along with a reception for 12 yards. So with these two running back injuries, McLaughlin and DeMercado have stepped up. Is there any one of those two you're prioritizing over the other? How do you view these two as in terms of ranking with Tajay Spears?
Yeah, so Tajay is probably still my number one guy, but DeMercado would be the one I'm picking above his backfield partner. We don't know how long Connor is going to miss some time. I'm not sure if it's one game, possibly multiple games. I have to look into his injury report, refresh myself. But DeMercado looked good, had the 10 attempts for 45 yards, just under 5 yards a carry. He's the one that got the touchdown. To me, it seems like he is going to be the one that gets the volume back there. So if I had to choose between him or his running mate back there, DeMercado, and he would be the second running back I'm looking at after Spears, just because I see Spears as having value now and value later on.
All right. I do like that. I hope that Javonte Williams does miss. I have McLaughlin in some leagues. So if you need someone for a 1 week play, keep an eye out for the Williams injury report. If Williams is out there, you can't start McLaughlin because that's a three-headed monster. That's just going to be very annoying. And Sean Payton, even if McLaughlin is the best running back on the field clearly right now, he'll get 5 touches a game because they got to give the ball to Williams and everybody else over him, just like they're doing with Marvin Mims. So
that is the asterisk I want to put with that. Like, Jaleel McLaughlin, he is a rookie, but he's a smaller guy. He's 5'7", 187. He's been an RB1 the last 2 weeks, but he hasn't seen over 35% of the snaps. And them playing Denver, playing Kansas City, two of the next 3 weeks, they're going to be in negative game script. And that's my biggest fear with playing with him, is he's not going to be on the field. Negative game scripts means they're going to be throwing the ball. He may be able to have the ball in his hand, but they need somebody who can pass block, and that's not going to be the guy to do that. So he's going to be banking on those Devon Achane moments where he's breaking off the limited touches he has, but as electric as he is, I don't know if he's going to get quite the opportunities we're going to want to see in that Kansas City matchup.
So any other running backs you're looking for, either for this week or for a stash? I know we highlight a lot of them. Is there anybody that we didn't mention that you guys want to highlight before we move on?
Talked about him a little bit early on with the Khalil Herbert injury, but I do like Rashawn Johnson. Maybe this is just like a gut feeling, but I'm kind of leaning towards, I expect Herbert to go on the IR or at least miss multiple weeks. And I know that Johnson has a concussion, so it was on a Thursday, so there's a chance he's back, but we mentioned concussions feel like they're at least a week minimum. But Johnson has looked the best because we already have seen a little bit of him. There's been splashes of him being productive. So he's someone I'm going out for now. He's injured, so you won't have to pull a lot of fab on him. And then if he does make it back in the protocol, I think he's going to plug in well. You are kind of worried that Justin Fields could at any time turn on the legs, and he's the running back there anyways, but he's probably the one, you know, if you're not going to get these other guys, if it's like a waiver system, you're not going to get DeMercado or Spears. I'm looking at Rashawn Johnson.
All right, yeah. So let's move over to the wide receiver position where, again, beginning of the show, we talked about the impact of KJ Osborne being someone you want to go out and add for the Minnesota Vikings because he will get some targets with the loss of Justin Jefferson. But we did mention that he was, you know, someone worth adding, but not the priority at the wide receiver position. So, Brian, let's have you start this one off. Who is this priority at the wide receiver position you're looking out to get as anywhere you can?
Ooh, I actually don't think there is a absolute priority. The guys we're going to mention today, I think a lot of them is going to depend on, as we kind of touch on every week, are you a winning team right now? Are you undefeated or just one long loss and you want to stash a high upside guy? Are you looking for a plug and play through injuries or bye weeks? Or are you just struggling? There's nothing out there, so you need one of these guys. Couple of the stashes that I think are good to look at would be Josh Downs. We saw him have his most productive week. We finally saw him go down the field, get some deep passes. He's a rookie, so we're going to continue to see him develop. So hopefully we see his average depth of target increase throughout the season as we did this past week. But with all that being said, it's still the Colts offense. This is not going to be a top-end offense. You have JT there. Anthony Richardson, once he's back, you know, he's always there to take touchdowns away. But I think he's going to be probably on that wide receiver three, wide receiver four cusp for me. I think he will have some upsides for some big plays, but you need to manage your expectations with him for sure.
Yeah, he's one of my top guys in terms of, but I do agree with that sentiment. None of the wide receivers available right now are any like world winners. And there's definitely no Pukas out right now. It is just kind of a lot of stashes and see. Someone I want to talk about a little bit and mentioned him. I think his week two was his pop off game, but that was Josh Reynolds for the Lions. You know, he looked good with the sun god out, with Amon-Ra St. Brown out. You know, we still have to monitor his situation. We'll see if the sun god practices at all this week. But even if it's looking like he'll be questionable, I think Reynolds is another great plug and play kind of guy. We didn't really talk about Jameson Williams as a bust, but he did get, I think it was 2.3 points. So like nothing impressive, but I kind of see Williams as like a decoy guy anyways, right? Like what Debo did the last week, where he was just on the field, you know, still a little banged up, but just being a decoy, right? Just taking a spot on the field. I kind of see Williams as that, you know, he's kind of like the DeSean Jackson type. He's just going to run in a straight line. Maybe he'll get one. Maybe he won't, probably won't. But Josh Reynolds kind of seems like, besides Laporta, who, you know, I see Reynolds as the guy with the most potential to start right now. If Sun God's out, like Reynolds gets a big bump. Otherwise, a lot of these other guys are kind of just like stashes and we'll just kind of hope and see if they develop.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention Rashi Rice as someone. It seems like every fantasy analyst is bringing up Rashi Rice. Yeah, last week, he didn't do anything that jumps out of you stat-wise. 4 receptions, 33 yards, and a touchdown. But all the reports that have come out just continues to say how much Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are beating the drum for Rashi Rice. I don't think he's someone you could start right away because it's the Chiefs. It's Travis Kelce. It's Patrick Mahomes, it's the running game. But without Travis Kelce possibly on Thursday, is he someone you could possibly start? So go right ahead.
Is that Travis Kelce injury? Because I do think Rashi Rice and Kadarius Toney, if Kelce is out, I think both of them are a decent play. You're playing them as wide receiver three flex plays, but I think both of them have upside enough to get you into that high wide receiver two with a touchdown or something like that. Just because with Kelce off the field, they're going to have to move the ball to all of these, what would we call them, all wide receiver threes, because nobody's really in that backfield. But there will be points to be scored. And with it being a Thursday night game, you know, lineups, choices have to be made. If you have to plug them in, you got to do it.
Yeah, I don't know who they're playing, but just something I want to talk more about Rashi Rice is that he currently leads all Chiefs wide receivers in red zone targets. He has 8. The next closest is Sky Moore with 4. And Rice has 2 touchdowns. Sky Moore has the 1. But like I said, it just seems like Rashi Rice, just based on the numbers, he's the one that's getting the look. So if there's anybody like between the Tony and the Rice, I prefer the Rice. He would be the one I'd want.
And they do play the Denver Broncos on Thursday night.
Broncos. Ooh, thank you.
Give me that.
Yes. So,
Rice's target per route run is unreal.
So before we move over to the streamers, we brought up a couple of names. Quickly, just 3 words, your top 3-4 ads or so at the wide receiver position. Rank how you're prioritizing the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I might like Reynolds as my number one just because just after a week of no practice and missing the game for the sun guide, like I said, I'm thinking this could possibly be a multi-week injury. And I think Reynolds just gets such a big bump if he's the only guy there. Number 2 would be Rice. We kind of just talked about where, especially if Kelce, you know, that injury is going to linger with him. And then after that, I kind of like Josh Downs. It's like a little bit of that stash play on potentially maybe he gets, I don't want to say if he gets a bump or not with Minshew, but I think he's just someone that, he's a rookie that we've seen get more and more opportunity as the year goes on. So Reynolds, and just crossing my fingers, we never hope for injuries, but just with just kind of thinking the script would go that way, Rice and then Downs are my top three.
I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to break it into ceiling top three. If you're looking for ceiling wide receivers, then we're going to go probably Josh Downs, Rashi Rice. And then if Quentin Johnson, the rookie for the Chargers, managed to hit your waiver wire on the bye week, check it out. I think he's worth a grab. And then if you're looking for three receivers more on the floor play, I think, definitely Reynolds there. I think KJ Osborne and then Curtis Samuel. It's not a name we've heard in a long while, but Riverboat Ron up there with the Washington Commanders, he loves the guy. He brought him up there for a reason, and they can't help but get him involved. And honestly, I think this offense is better when they have those three wide receivers on the field.
It's hurting my Jahan Dotson love from the preseason, and it's making me sad because Curtis Samuel is not better talent-wise than Jahan Dotson. So, but... Yeah, he's worth mentioning if you need a safe floor. I like the other guys we mentioned better than that, but if you miss out on that, Curtis Samuel is a fine play. The Commanders are going to play from behind a lot, as seen from Thursday Night Football. We'll go over two of these streamers where we talk about Thursday Night Football, and one of these guys did play on Thursday night, and it was one of the most fun Thursday night games I watched because I was streaming him, and Howell every time he did something good, and it made the game a lot more exciting. So that's obviously Sam Howell. He might not be our favorite streamer, so if he isn't the top streaming target, give me who it is and tell me if I'm wrong to be considering starting Sam Howell again as a streamer.
Who I love play Matthew Falcons? Stafford as a streamer as far as quarterbacks go. You've got Cutback, you got Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams still saw his like 6% target share. Higby's out there, not that he's really doing a whole lot, but Tutu Atwell's finally coming into his own in what, year three, year four. But I think Stafford's as good as a play can be with you know, as we've seen, injuries and bye weeks, all that kind of stuff. If you were starting Jordan Love and you need no, that just doesn't work. I don't know. You're looking to stream Stafford. He's your guy.
Yeah. He plays the Arizona Cardinals this week, and we saw Joe Burrow have his first real big performance there. So I definitely like Stafford's call.
Yeah, I like the Stafford call. And like you said, like if you have Jordan Love's on a bye next week. Stafford's probably my number one quarterback as well. Howell, I did get nervous at that halftime. Like I said, he had, I think, just about 2 points. Bounce back, though. He finished with a solid 20-something. I don't have it in front of me. Okay, here we go. Finished with 26, so QB5. Happy for him. But I prefer Stafford. I just have more trust in him. Kind of see him do it before. And then we kind of talked a little bit about the Anthony Richardson injury. So it's going to be more time for Minshew. I like Minshew in the super flex. Not super crazy about him otherwise. And then actually one other guy, because I mentioned him last week, but it was his bye week 5, so didn't do you any good. But Baker Mayfield looked pretty solid back in week 4. Yeah, I think he was quarterback 7, 23.5 points, and he is going up against Detroit. So Detroit, I feel like a lot of their games are kind of just shootouts for the most part. They're a fun team. I feel like that's a fun game. Baker Mayfield has 3 kind of mid games, but he's another one I'd put in that QB2 super flex category. Or if you're in a 16-man league, maybe Baker Mayfield gets a start there.
Yeah, I like the Mayfield call. I think I prefer Howell and Stafford to Mayfield, but he's been consistent and he's been pretty productive. So I think Baker Mayfield, he's making me root for him, which I wasn't sure I'd ever do as a Steeler fan, but he's been fun to watch. Let's keep an eye on that practice report. Mike Evans was dealing with a hamstring injury before their bye, so we'll see if he is okay. It seems like he'll be fine, but just monitor that closely. Without Evans, of course, that caps upside, but I like Mayfield as a, if you're truly desperate, you could do worse. We'll wrap it, we'll try and wrap it up quickly with the tight end position. Again, we've got the little bit of a tough time. You're not exactly looking to replace many people that are on bye, but tight end's very tough right now. How can you really buy what Kyle Pitts did? I don't know. So if you're looking to stream the tight end position, as you've been doing a lot this season, who are some names we need to look at going forward?
it's gross, but I feel like he's been talked about for most of this season when he's playing. Logan Thomas, he is a part of this trio of tight ends that get run out there for the Commanders, but Bienemy loves himself a tight end, and they are seeing an unreal target share. So Logan Thomas, huge target, big guy, 6'5", great red zone threat, and that's what you look for in streaming tight ends, those red zone threats.
Yeah, he was going to be my number one as well. I mean, he has three finishes in top 11, in tight end 11 or better, and four starts. Listen, what more can you want from the wasteland? And he finished his tight end 4 this past week, I believe. So he'd probably be my number one. Zach Ertz, he just continues to get targets. So he's another one that I have on my short list. And then I'm not sure if Luke Musgrave, like what his roster share is, if he's low enough to be considered for this. Okay, so yeah, he's another one.
Yeah, he's also in a bye coming
in. Oh, he's one of the two teams.
The weekly Mario choice of who's on a bye.
You know what, though? Week 7 at Denver. You like that?
Okay. All right. There we go. See?
So there's the stash.
Each week. So that's going to be the new segment as we wrap it up. The Mario bye week stash of the week. I think
How do we keep doing that?
You know what player can't go negative? A guy on a bye week. If you're looking negative, not negative points, you get Mario.
That's right.
That's true. And if you're looking for some more tight end streamers, Brian will be coming out with the tight end streaming article week in, week out. He's been doing so. If you're looking to continue playing this position, check it out. It's been a good resource to find that tight end position because, like, let's face it, there's only 3-4 consistent tight ends right now, and a lot of people are probably playing the streaming game. And we'll wrap up the streaming category with defense because it's what everyone mostly streams. So any matchups you want to attack this week as a streaming defense?
I think Giants are someone you want to attack, but I see that they're going against the Bills, which is not, you know, like they're probably a roster defense, so you're probably not getting a streaming share of them. But otherwise, I mean, it's got to be, we talked about it early on in the show, the Patriots, they look as ugly can be. They have 3 points in their last two games. They don't know who their quarterback is. It's the Raiders that's going to be the defense going against them, but they have at least one pick already in Monday Night Football. So pleasantly surprised by them. So I'd say they're probably my number one. Like, the as crazy as it seems, the Patriots might be the team I target. Yeah, I never thought. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I never thought in a million years I'd say that, especially while Belichick is still there. But they might be the team that I'm looking to most target.
I think it's going to be Rams for me. Arizona, they're coming down to life a little bit. The Josh Dobbs experiment's been fun. I still hope that he's going to do well this season, but they're definitely a team that can be exploited. And the Rams, they look great this year. I mean, as great as they can be. They had top 5 pick aspirations again this year. So I start them up. Let's see them go.
Yeah, and the last one I'll bring up, I like your call. It's probably better than this one, but the Falcons defense has been playing a lot better than I expected. They're a tough matchup, and they're playing against the Commanders. As much fun as it was howling for Sam Howell last week, he's turnover prone at times, so I wouldn't be shocked me if the Falcons bring him back out down to life. So while I probably like the Rams and maybe even the Raiders more than the Falcons in terms of streaming, I wouldn't hate if you streamed the Atlanta Falcons this week. So that's going to do it for this episode of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. As always, you can find the show on Twitter at VQBList. Find all our articles at QBList.com. Mario is going to have out, by the time you're listening to this, the waiver wire article where we'll go a lot more in depth with these names and more that were brought up on the show. We mentioned Brian's streaming tight ends. We mentioned the start sit articles, the what we saw articles, rankings, everything you need to make your fantasy football decisions week in and week out, betting decisions. It's obviously a great resource, so definitely check out the site QBList.com. You can join Petrolist Plus and get access to our Discord where we'll have continuous conversations about all the games, any trade talk, start sit decisions. It's a great community of people, and if you want instant news, you're going to get it pretty quickly in that channel. So definitely worth it. And of course, you find the show on Twitter. Guys, and if we wanted to ask specific questions, you can find me at Twitter at Callen_Elslager. Brian, Mario, before we wrap it up, plug your Twitters and anything else you got going on that I missed.
Yeah. So at Mario Donald Jr., you find me on Twitter. I do the sit starts. I just double checked. I don't have Atlanta this week. Somebody beat me to the punch. So instead, it's going to be Minnesota, Chicago. You're going to hear me singing Justin Fields praises, DJ Moore praises, all that kind of good stuff. And hopefully I'll know who the running back will be there this week. But that's it. And then always I'm big on the Reddit, especially in our sit start on Thursday. I'm always there. I try to answer as many questions as I can and try to get like 50, 60 ones, trying to help you guys in your line of decisions. So that's where you can find me.
You can find me at @too_much_Brian, and you can find me getting more involved because look at Mario, put me to shame, helping you guys out, and I'm just holding back with tight ends here. But, we'll find myself over there a little bit more. How about that?
No, tight ends I can't imagine trying to be the one deciphering the tight end wasteland. Are you kidding me? I can tell you to start DJ Moore and Justin Fields, but when it's like, which of these four tight ends that are all projected for, you know, between 4 and 4.5 points, which one I should start? I'll stay away from that.
I put Tyler Conklin on the article last week. That one was hard, but finishes tight end 12, so it was one.
It works. Hey, listen, Mario, your tight end advice of sitting Kyle Pitts has worked out 4 out of 5 weeks or so of this year. So we'll see what week six brings us. I would have a tough choice because I picked up Zach Ertz, started him over him. They were both fine, but I feel like that's gonna be a weekly choice for me between do I go for Ertz or do I go for Pitts. But stay tuned. I'm sure I'll make the wrong decision again this week. But that's gonna do it for this episode of the QBS Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll catch you all for week 7.
See ya.
Peace.